And now the game where we ask accomplished people to accomplish far less interesting things. Will Oldham is, according to The New Yorker, one of the most celebrated singer-songwriters in the country. But chances are you haven't heard of him. This is mostly his fault because he does not record under his own name, but under a series of pseudonyms. His latest and most well-known is Bonnie Prince Billy. He's got a new CD out. He joins us now. Will Oldham, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm happy.
So I found about your music when a friend of mine who has exquisite taste sent me one of your CDs some years ago. And it's quite amazing if you haven't heard any of your music as Bonnie Prince Billy. We're trying to figure out a way to describe it. One description we came across is, quote, a fragile sort of warble frittering around haunted melodies in the American folk or country tradition, unquote.
That's very generous.
Do you go for that?
I go for what might move units.
Really? You're all about the sales. Your music is, let me put it this way, sad. For the most part. I mean, one of your big songs covered, in fact, by Johnny Cash was I See a Darkness.
And you're never sad?
I am when I listen to your CDs. No, I mean, is it? Do you accept that your music can be somewhat mournful at the very least?
I guess I get it out that way, or you know, it's a place to put those kinds of things.
Yeah, and by virtue of putting your sadness in songs, are you a happy-go-lucky person in real life?
There are those who would disagree with that.
Well, we saw a video. This must be the strangest thing I've seen in a little while. A video that you did for a Kanye West song.
Oh, yeah.
And it is Zach Galifianakis, the actor and comedian, lip-syncing the Kanye West song while driving a tractor. How in the world did you end up with Zach Galifianakis lip-syncing a Kanye West song in a video on a tractor?
I was looking for somewhere to spend a quiet weekend.
Yeah.
And he had said that I could take refuge at his farm one day, and I needed it so badly, and I called, and he said, please do, please come. And as I was on my way there, I called one last time before cell phone service dropped out. And I said, how do I get there? He said, blah, blah, blah. He gave me the directions and then said, oh, and we're going to shoot this Kanye West video here while you're here this weekend.
Does that sort of thing happen to you all the time?
Yeah, basically that sort of thing happens to me.
Pretty much. It's just, that's what it's like, oh, I'm going over to Zach's house. They're doing a Kanye West video again.
Yeah.
You also are in, of all things, R. Kelly's epic multi-part video, Trapped in the Closet. How in the world did that happen?
Were those women swooning?
Yes, they were. They're on the floor, dude.
For you, not for R. Kelly.
You have quoted, I've seen you quoted that R. Kelly is one of your musical heroes.
It's true.
Along with Merle Haggard, which I believe, and Leonard Cohen, which I can see.
Yeah.
But R. Kelly?
Yeah.
His music is not what I don't hear the similarity between your musics, as it were.
Yeah, it's probably more in the lifestyle.
For example, here are some lyrics from an R. Kelly song, and I want you to interpret them for us as a fellow artist.
All
right. Why don't you do the first one, Carl?
Like Jurassic Park, I'm your sexosaurus, baby.
So, what's your interpretation of that lyric, Will Oldham?
We're born under the same star sign, and he has another great line in a song where he says, inside of your walls there will dwell a Capricorn. And it's the same kind of idea. He finds
okay.
places to put animals.
Yeah.
I feel like
we're talking about R. Kelly, right? We have one more. We have one more R. Kelly lyric for you here.
All right.
We'd like you to respond to.
I like her. I like her. I like her. Wait, I like her too. I like her too. And her friend too. And her cousin too. And her sister. And her mother. And her big grandma.
Yeah. I was listening to a song of his called Be My Number Two, which go anywhere with.
What a great title.
So
I'm realizing through this conversation, I want to thank you, that
I could be turning my back on the gifted career as a songwriter.
All right, one last thing, because I want to emphasize you have this reputation as this extraordinarily gifted, almost austere style musician, doing this very heartfelt stuff in an uncompromising way. But you keep showing up in odd pop culture places. The last one I'll mention is you play a gorilla trainer in the movie Jackass 3D.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? Did Johnny Knoxville just get in touch because he's a fan of your music? And
no, it was actually my dad was a fan of the Jackass movies, and he the first one, and he passed away, and I went to see the second one with a good friend of his with whom he'd seen the first one, and then there was a guy in town who works on the Jackass movies who was working on the third one, and I just thought, oh my goodness, you know, what better tribute to my father than to whatever they would force me to get into.
Yeah. And they were responsive to this?
Gorilla trainer suit.
Yeah, like, Dad, this shot to the sack is for you.
Yeah. Because he came out of that first one just saying, that was the worst movie I've ever seen. And I said, Dad, what was so terrible about it? And as he began to explain the movie, he was, you know, fairly soon in tears laughing. And I was like, now, is that so bad, Dad? Is that so bad?
I've never heard a touching story that revolved around the movie Jackass 3D, but now
neither has anybody else.
No, you've done it.
Yeah, I don't
think you walked through the world with your eyes closed and your ears covered.
It's true. I actually am a little humbled because I was all, ha, Jackass 3D, and you're like, well, here's this touching story, and I feel...
It's a beautiful movie.
It is. Well, Will Oldham, we are delighted to talk to you, and we've invited you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
You're the World's Oldest Virgin.
Oh.
So you sing mostly sad or mournful songs, interspersed with the occasional tragic one. And we were thinking, who's the singer least like you? And of course it would be Doris Day.
Oh.
So we're going to ask you three questions about Ms. Doris Day, this sweet-faced, sweet-voiced singer most famous in the 50s and 60s. If you answer two of them correctly or more, you win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their voicemail. Carl, who is Will Oldham playing for?
Will is playing for Rick Felkins of Leander, Texas.
All right, ready to go?
Go, yeah, let's do it for Rick.
All right, for Rick. Here's your first question. Doris Day was famous for playing mostly sweet, innocent heroines in a variety of movies, mostly comedies and dramas. And musicals, but she could have changed her image by accepting one role she was offered but turned down. Was it A, the jaded prostitute in Clute, B, Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate, or C, the 50-foot woman in Attack of the 50-foot Woman?
I can go right in.
Go for it.
I think it was maybe Mrs. Robinson.
You're right. It was Mrs. Robinson. Doris Day was offered the role, Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate. She turned it down. For moral reasons.
She turned it down for a life with, you know, 40 cats or something like that.
This is true. She is now an animal lover and an animal patron. But let's move on to the next question. Ms. Day quit movies in around 1968. She started doing TV instead with the launch of the Doris Day Show, a sitcom. Why did she go from movies to TV? Was it A, Alfred Hitchcock blackballed her from film after she refused his advances? B, after her husband died, she found out he had signed her up to do a TV series without her knowledge. Or C, she went to a screening of her last film and shouted, oh my God, my pores are like sinkholes up there.
Huh.
And didn't want to be in the movies anymore.
I'm afraid I like the pores story, and I have to go with it just because I like it, not because it's true.
Following your muse. Yeah, it's not true, but it is funny. No, what happened was is that in 1968, her husband died, and she found out first that she was deeply in debt because he had lost all her money, and secondly, he signed her up to do a TV show, so she felt obligated.
I've stepped one step closer to the precipice of losing for Rick.
But here we are. You can still have a chance because if you get this last one right, of course, you will win. So she did this sitcom, The Doris Day Show, and it ran for 5 years. And there was something unusual about it. Was it A, every week a new stray animal played Doris Day's pet and viewers were then encouraged to adopt it? B, every season the basic premise of the sitcom completely changed? Or C, instead of a laugh track, it would flash the words laugh now on the screen after every joke?
I'm going to say B.
You're going to say B, that the premise changed every season?
Yeah.
You're right. That's what happened. It was never explained. The first season, she's a single mom with two young kids living on a ranch in Northern California. By the fifth season, she was a swinging single in 1970s San Francisco working for a magazine. They never explained what happened to the kids.
Hey, Doris, you were right. All the questions were about you.
Carl, how did Will Oldham do in our quiz?
Will, you had two correct answers, and that's good enough to win for Rick Felkins. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well done, yes. Right.
Will Oldham's new book is Will Oldham on Bonnie Prince Billy. His latest album as Bonnie Prince Billy is Wolf Roy Goes to Town. Will Oldham, thank you so much for joining us. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Quail and dumplings now. Our bosom friends, we got empty tummies, but it won't always be. One day it's gonna be quail.